Arnold alcoholic. Home group is important. Questions? Okay, so I asked a man to help me through. I asked a man to show me how this step bullshit works. Those were my exact words in Icelandic. And we start reading with a book, big book, and we go through steps. And during that process, he tells me, I don't sponsor guys that don't do service. And, well, at that group, okay. So group is a word, okay? It's really an open concept, okay? A group of alcoholics is a group of alcoholics. You could generalize about them, but that's not fair to yourself, okay? It's not. Because people are different. So I tell my sponsor that I cannot do service before the meeting because I'm at the gym with my coworkers. Those are people that people that I have very few things in common with, socially, or economically, or you know, in any way, or even professionally. And I don't do any service. And after the meeting, it's basically a sauna. The meeting is a sauna. It's a tiny room and 90 guys in there. There are 20 guys at my first meeting, and we are soon up to 45. And later we would go up to 140 guys, but, you know, and then down to 50 again, and oh, whatever. And I didn't have the willingness to jump and grab what we call the magic wand of AA, the brush, to clean cups. So, but I'm at the meeting, and I come right before the meeting starts, my home group, which was my home group because it's the first meeting I went to. It's a men's stag meeting, and I'm a big believer in stag meetings, especially women's stag meetings, okay? Especially women's stag meetings. Because there are certain types of females that come into AA that are not open to sponsorship from other women. And I believe those women need to be in women's stag meetings. Because women have a different method of communicating than men do. And we can't help those girls. Because they are, it gets sexual really fast. And that only complicates matter. It's not bad, but it complicates stuff, okay? And I'm at the men's stag meeting, and I feel like a guest. I'm drinking their coffee in their seats at their meeting, and I'm not. And somebody had been saying something about that. I don't remember who, and I don't remember what. And I basically sidestep to the sink. There were two sinks. And this guy who is a friend of mine, and he is the most neurotic alcoholic ever to have darkened the doors of AA. He basically, whatever you would say to him, and he had 2.5 years at that time, whatever you would say, he would just go, you know, automatically come back with, you know, 2.5 years in steps, you know. And he's neurotic, okay. And he's standing there with his pink glove and the magic wand of AA, and I turn around and I start watching cups with my hands. Water is hot. It's hot water is hot water in Iceland, okay. Geothermal heating, it's 80 degrees centigrade. That's, I don't know, 150 Fahrenheit or something. So it's hot, okay? And I do cups. And I turn around when I'm done. While I'm doing the cups, he comes and this dude, he comes and says, "Oh, are you doing the cups?" And that's great. And I just, I feel like I'm not allowed to participate. And let me tell you that when I stepped away from the sink after doing that, everything changed. I was high. I've tried a few highs, you know. I've tried spiritual highs, and I've tried meditation highs, and I've done some hashish with PCP in it, and I've what we call gasoline hashish in Iceland. It's basically the masonite, or the texture is the masonite plates on the back of IKEA furniture, but it's hashish. It's not good stuff, okay? But this was a pure, authentic high, and everything, the whole world shifted. I wasn't drinking your coffee. I wasn't sitting in your chair. I wasn't taking anymore. I was participating, and I was high, and I would get hooked on that stuff. It's good stuff. And it's not that they need, you know, meetings have disposable cups, and my home group, they don't believe in disposable cups because of the magic wand of AA, and I would slowly start to participate. They wouldn't call on me to share. I did not cheer at that group for 13 months. They would, you know, the first meeting I would cheer at was the one on Christmas Eve, which is Christmas in Iceland, and there were only 10 guys there, so they had to have me share. And I'm sober 13 months by that time, 13 months and 2 weeks, okay? And that's the first time that they realized that I have something to share. Okay? And they would start calling on me during the meeting, and I would do service. I've been a cashier, I've been the secretary, and I've been intergroup rep, and I have, you know, I've done time in intergroup. It's interesting. I've basically participated in that group a lot. In the beginning, I would also be a secretary for a speakers meeting, and I would do, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's not about office. It is not. Holding office is, in my humble opinion, not really meaningful in AA. It's what, you know, and that goes back to sponsorship. I don't like the title sponsor. I just, you know, you can call me whatever you want. You can call me your sponsor, your gay lover, or whatever. You know, I don't care. We do AA as I know how to do it. And home group is, so I would slowly just do service at, you know, slowly but surely, I would stop doing service and doing holding office in other groups, because I found that for myself, the office was more about impressing you guys than it was about service. And I just stopped, and I haven't done that stuff for, I don't know, 10 years or whatever. I only held office in my home group. I would participate, I would help with the chair. I believe in coming early to meetings, especially my home group. That meeting is 8:15 on Monday nights at the Alano Club in Reykjavik. And I would be there at 5:00 before the coffee guys. I would be the guy that made the coffee for the coffee guys. And if you don't believe me, just call the guys. They know. You know, it's really something that I did. I went straight from work to that meeting, and I would just sit there. made a pot of coffee and sat, and somebody would come early, and the coffee makers, they would come at, I don't know, 6:30 or 7 o'clock, and they would, you know, they were always trying to beat me, that's fine. This home group thing in Oslo, it seems, and this is okay, this is a soapbox, okay, in Oslo it seems the definition of a home group is a group that you really like going to. I at least hear people talking about this being their home group. They will be at the podium, but I'm there more often than they are, and this is not my home group. Okay, I'm lucky in that I do work that is not real work. Okay, I do IT. It's basically sitting around waiting for stuff to happen, and you start installing something, you start doing something, and sometimes someone would break some system at some company, and my customers knew that I was not available from six o'clock on Mondays till midnight. I would go on emergency calls after midnight, after the meeting. I would come early. I would talk to the guys. We would talk trash. I'm a big, you know, you should have heard by now that I'm a big fan of trash talk, okay? And I would go and we would have pizza after the meeting, and I would drive somebody home if that was the case, and then I would go and do those jobs. And my customers fully understood that this, you know, I'll sacrifice something else for. You know, I'll sacrifice some other. I will not go in the cabin next weekend or whatever because the customer wants to schedule something. But I will not sacrifice my home group for anything because it's my home group. If we compare that to girlfriend, and I know English is pretty weird with that, we have a word. Icelandic has male, female, and neuter gender. The word is kærasta. For female, kærasti, for male. So a girl will say kærasti to about her boyfriend, and that's a relationship thing. A girlfriend, a female's girlfriend is just her girlfriend. It's not her sexual, it's not her lover necessarily. But home group is like a relationship for me. This is the woman I'm seeing. Okay? I will not sacrifice. People would ask me to come to other meetings and yada, 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 yada. They would ask me to come and chair a meeting, or this is great meeting on Monday nights, blah, blah, blah. I will not. I just will not do that because this is my home group. Okay? I will not, you know, I got a girlfriend in AA, and she knew that this, you know, she would work nights 1 week and off next week, and etc. And on her off nights, there was nothing other. She knew that I was not available for her because I was at my home group. You know, and if you think about a relationship, how, you know, anywhere from acquaintances to friends, the acquaintances being somebody you talk to, and the friend, you know, you call an acquaintance and you say, "Hey, I'm going to the movies." And he says, "Well, I'm going to go out hunting." You'll say, "Okay, I'm going to the movies," and you'll call the next guy. Okay? A friend, you'll call a friend and you'll say, "Hey, you want to go out for the movies?" And he'll say, "No, I'm going out hunting." And you'll go out hunting. Because being around your friend is more important than the stuff that you do together. Okay? Home group is like that. I would participate in any activity, however stupid that activity was. However stupid, how much or little I agreed with it. If they had a conference, I would participate. And if they had barbecue at some guy's house, I would participate because it's my home group. I don't agree with everything that they do, and especially now that I've left Iceland, they have the group conscious meeting after the meeting, which is just heresy in my mind. That's newcomer time, okay? But I'll participate. And if you, I try to follow the humility that Bill had in the second tradition in the 12 and 12. Bill gets a job at Towns Hospital, and he knows this is the word, this is the God's will for him, and he's fantasizing about this, and he's going to the meeting that night, and he goes to the meeting and he tells the guys at the meeting, you know, I got a job offer at Towns Hospital, and the guys said, you can't do that to us. And he doesn't. Okay? He doesn't. That is what makes Bill Wilson Bill Wilson, in my opinion. If he had said, you know, fuck you guys, I'm going to take that job, he wouldn't have been Bill Wilson. He wouldn't have been one of the co-founders of AA. He would have been Abby Thatcher. He would have been Roland Hazard. He would be a face in history. You know, he would be a vague memory. But everybody here is here because of Bill Wilson and his reaction that day. And I don't have any fantasies of becoming Bill Wilson. And for you history lovers, that's probably has to do with different approaches to sex. If you read up on Bill's sex life, it was interesting. It's really, really interesting. In sobriety, I don't have any fantasies, but I look at the good stuff that he had, and that humility is something that I want to have in my life. And that is, you know, one of the reasons for that is that if I only do what I think is right, I will only get what I can imagine. And that's it. If we go back to the Japanese with their joystick, you know, to participate in someone else's life is magic. It is magical. And my sacrifice is one night a week. I do 6 meetings a week in Oslo. I have the Icelandic meetings on Sundays. I'll have the primary purpose group on Mondays, or if not, I'll have the big book translation project thing. I have the men's stack on Tuesdays. I have the English speaking on Wednesdays. It's a big book study. And Thursday is a night off. And Friday, there's the podium meeting, the podium meeting. It's the first and only podium meeting in Norway. Okay? And on Saturdays, I might go to the English-speaking meeting if I don't have anything else planned. You know, my role in AA has to do with my commitment. And if I only care, this is a calorie game. This is a calorie game. It's not a weight game. Okay? We spend calories. We get paid in calories. Okay? We get paid in effort. We do RPMs, not miles per hour. Okay? And sometimes the newcomer is we are there at the exact right time, and sometimes it takes a friend of mine he lived in Volta, which is a town on the west coast of Norway. He would take a 3-hour bus ride once a week to go to a shit meeting, to a really bad meeting. It was a no steps, no big book, no nothing. And he would call me and so and go, I don't really know why the hell I'm doing this. He had one meeting a week, and he took the 3-hour bus ride, you know, through the mountains. Basically, it's beautiful. If you look up Volta with a V, it's beautiful. But it, you know, it's 3 hours. And then one day he'd call me and he'd go, now I know why I'm there. Now I know why I've been doing this. And this meeting tonight made it all totally worth it. There's this older lady that has some ideas about, well, has some ideas. She has, yeah, her brain is gumbo, basically, from the description. And she has some stuff, and she didn't want to do step work. And she came back with a black eye after, you know, getting drunk and falling on furniture. and arguing with this buddy of mine about the merits of step work, okay? And that moment was a magical moment for him. It doesn't sound like a lot, but it was a magical moment for him. He knew why he was doing it, because he had a home group. He showed up even though he didn't feel that he needed something else. And showing up, and I picked a chair. I was the fourth chair from the staircase, okay? I was sitting there always. When you're the first guy to come, you sit your ass down on the fourth chair, and you know, you're always there. My service there, you know, apart from you know, telling stories and stuff at the meeting, was being a face in that seat every Monday, no matter what, be it Christmas or Easter or whatever. I was there. I would take my family, would my aunt, who my mom lived abroad, but my aunt lived in the suburbs, and she understood that this was home group time. Yes, it's Christmas Eve, we're having Christmas dinner, and we'll just have it at 5 o'clock, because Arnold needs to go to his meeting, and I'd go to my meeting. That's the level of dedication, I'm just trying to tell you, that's the level of dedication that I put into it. It's not the correct level of dedication. It is not. But I got what I got out of it because of that dedication. Just like with a girlfriend. If your relationship is sexual acquaintances, you will get that out of it. If it's soulmates, you'll get that out of it. You know? And it's work. You have to work on a relationship. To your home group, to your girlfriend, to whatever. You have to put in effort. It's not just, you know, yeah, we're compatible, and then, you know, it's fine. This is a nice meeting for me, you know. Coming here and seeing this stuff, it reminded me, that guy with the gangrenous liver, we would meet on Fridays, because my home group announced that on Friday lunch we would all meet at this restaurant and we would eat. And we were sitting there, just the two of us, and nobody else came that Friday. And we were talking about, hey, let's have a conference. And let's get an American over. And we knew exactly which guy to bring. This, and we started working on it, and you know, getting somebody to do the coffee, and we had to we would, you know, there was no toilet there, there was no running water. We had to get the water in buckets and bring it there. We had one coffee maker, and it was magical time. He would relapse before that day came around. He relapsed before. He's sober today, you know. He is, but he had relapsed. And the group effort, everybody played a role. And the thing was amazing. It was amazing. The next year, we couldn't, that book storage facility had been remodeled to something else, and we were trying to find a place, the venue to hold it in, and we had this half-built concrete house close to the meeting, and it was so much echo that you couldn't stand, you know, you couldn't hear anybody 3 feet away, okay? So what we did was one guy in the group, he was working at a... he was helping a conference, a food conference, and with these conferences, like real conference, it's a food conference, or fish something, he would get the carpets as gifts, as a, you know, disposable carpets. And we bored, you know, bolts into the ceiling and pieces of wood behind them, and we would put the carpet in the ceiling so we could have a conference. And we have tapes of that stuff. The tapes are online. And to you know, just like when you've taken a meeting into a rehab facility and you found somebody who was really open, you take a meeting to a rehab facility with your buddy, and you talk to a newcomer, and you can't wait for him to, you know, to meet him again or take him to the steps. You've organized something, and you have this knowing smirk between you and your friend. You have this know, being smug, you have a bond in the group that you did something with someone. And we would do it again in 2005 and again in 2006. Not this dramatic, but, you know, we would do stuff together. And that creates a bond that is bigger than, and it runs deeper, in all honesty, than talk about steps. It does. It's something real. It's something that actually happened. It's something that you will know for the rest of your life. And not all of the guys that are, you know, participated in that are sober today. Not all. But we have a bond that is more than just whack their steps or something, you know. It's not just about the you know, we are how does it put it? Second chapter put it. Let's find it if I can. And yeah, it's in the beginning of the second chapter. I wanted to spill the mood, but by not finding it. But it's basically we have a bond, and it's not just a bond of a common problem, and it's not just a bond of a common solution. It's the bond of having common solution as a definition, that is. We have actually done stuff together in AA, be it made coffee. I have a buddy in Oslo. We show up for one group and we drink coffee and then we go out for burgers because nobody else comes. And sometimes somebody else comes and that's great. You know, we're just there on a stakeout. So whatever definition you have for home group, it's, you know, I know that my definition of a home group is not the correct one. I know that. But I want what I can get out of it, you know. I'd rather sleep with my soulmate than some just hot chick, you know. I want something more. And the home group is important. And that group in Iceland, they have and still have a group conscience meeting every month. And when I left the first Monday of every month before the meeting, we would have a group conscious meeting. And we would go through business, and it's capped at 15 minutes, and then we would have 30 minutes of group inventory questions. And it's not that, you know, it's not the result of it, it's the discussion between the guys. And we would often just, you know, we would get angry even, you know, and some guys are not, you know, don't agree with the results. I don't care for the results so much as I love the discussion. You know, being able to discuss the question at length, what are we doing for the newcomer, and not just checking off the boxes. Yeah, we go out for pizza after the meeting and we have a conference once a year, but what are we doing? Are we open to the newcomer? Does the newcomer, you know, just, and this is not in the format, it's just random stuff. We had a format, that, and we still have a format, that is, we choose a member of the group to chair for 15 minutes, 10 to 15 minutes, and then he calls on people he wants to hear, and they have 5 minutes each. And that's the format. My group, the English-speaking group in Oslo, is the chair reads where we left off in the big book. He will read one, or she will read one paragraph, and then he gets 3 minutes and a timer sounds and off to the next one. We try to stay focused. If you go off topic, that's fine. It's only 3 minutes. You know, it's only 3 minutes. Okay, bing, your time is up. Thank you. You know, and so a group is, you know, it's an open thing. You know, it's a really open concept. So the definition isn't, I would think of my home group, the Monday night men's stag, as a group, you know, through my whole sobriety. Then we got some speaker to come, and we had the, by then we had the convention at a church, and all the groups that would meet in that church, which is not my home group, they would also come. And the speaker said from the podium, "It's a really enthusiastic group you have here." And I would, of course, get a resentment right away, because there were a lot of people there that were not from my group. But it's, you know, that city is a group. It is a group. Some meetings, they are men only. Some meetings are women only. You know, some meetings are just doctor meetings. You know, I don't know. You know, if they don't want newcomers that are not doctors, let us have them. You know, it's fine. But the whole city is a group. The whole city is a fellowship, and we are all bonded in a way, whether we like it or not. And that's like, you know, my mom, she's a genealogy buff, and there's actually, on the 2nd of July, there's a family reunion, and you know, I have relatives in Washington State, and they're all coming for the family reunion, just as the U.S. branch of the family, blah, blah, blah. People that don't speak Icelandic have never been to Iceland, don't know anything about Iceland except, you know, media and stuff. And I sometimes feel like, you know, my mom is saying, this is your aunt. And I feel like a horse being checked out, you know, let me see the teeth, let me see the hooves. You know, it's because, you know, you this is a relation that I don't know. And you, there are people in here, but I don't know any of you, really. But there are people in here that you really don't know. Why not to get to know them? You know, you might help them, they might help you. You know, you if you're a newcomer here, you are helping the old timers a lot more than they're helping you. Let's just say that right off the bat. You know, the steps and all that stuff, the format and blah, 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 it's all a formality so that you can start to work with others. Somebody asked me about arts and crafts, what I mean by arts and crafts, 4 through 9. Well, the fourth step is arts and crafts. It's a part of the puzzle, but it's not the puzzle. It's not the thing. It's not to be worshipped. The only thing that I worship, you know, in AA is what the fellowship does together. And sometimes it's not as ambitious as I liked it to be, but, you know, when it is awesome. It really is. Thank you. Questions? Any questions? Yes. Of the third step prayer? So the question... Sorry? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. What is the importance of the third step prayer? For me, I did a third step prayer and I didn't have an experience other than I started working step 4. Something started to happen, and this is all really vague. I wasn't keeping a journal, okay? But somewhere on the timeline, I'm at that midnight meeting. I'm at the midnight meeting in Reykjavik, and I don't remember what I said, but it ended with to be high on God. And it was apparently profound. I have no recollection of what I said. That is a result of the third step. Practically speaking, the result of the third step is, you know, the making a decision to go through with the process. That's the third step. If you think that's prayer, then if you do the prayer in the big book, which I do, you know, I do that from time to time, and sometimes every day, and sometimes every quarter. But I would take guys, newcomers, and I would take them, and we would go down on our knees and do the whole celebration thing, and I stopped doing that because I felt I wasn't honest. I didn't believe it. So I tell them, you need to find your own honesty, your own higher power, your own way of something that makes sense to you. That's the requirement for God in chapter 4. It is something that is not you that makes sense to you. And if you find, you know, I've helped guys with that have found Jesus and they become hotshots in the church. And that's fine. One in particular, he was really crazy. But he's fine. He's married, kids. He's a lawyer now. and that's a result of his thing. I think that the honesty that the what I put into it when I do it is more important than the words. Absolutely. So the question is, how many home groups should you have? I just like the word sponsor. The truth of the matter is that my sponsor was only there in the beginning. Well, he was for other stuff, but other people had profound stuff to say also. And really, you know, even the guys that died. They had stuff to say. The word sponsor I don't like, and I will let my words speak as to what is my home group. If you're going for a mount, I think you're losing. You're misunderstanding something. If you're going for a mount of sponsees and stuff, I've counted sponsees. It's of no use. And what breaks my heart is that while I was still doing that, there was this one guy, I gave him an assignment, and he came back with it, and I didn't have time for him. I have no idea where he is today. That's a lost chance. So I will balance out. If there's fifth that time, I won't go to the Friday night meeting, or whatever fits, you know? You know, in Iceland, where it was really clear, I didn't do fifth step. I would do fifth step after the meeting, before the meeting, but not at the meeting. So, amount? No. Are you doing whatever you can? You know, because that newcomer is a seeing eye newcomer. He can teach you stuff. Other questions? Yeah, yes, I do. I a friend of mine, he couldn't do 12 step. Yeah, the question was, do you help out other members of the group other than newcomers when you see them go squiggly? Do you do that? I do. Yes. I am not that familiar with Scandinavian culture. Iceland is not Scandinavia, by the way, and there is a difference. But in Iceland, I would do, you know, a friend of mine couldn't sponsor any newcomers anymore because he was a alcohol counselor, and I told him, dude, you're about to get drunk. You're about to drink again. You know, there are no ifs and buts about that, and he did. Not right away, but he did. So, but I at least told them. I at least, you know, I gave him a fair warning, and that was from inside. That was straight out of my ass, like we, we, you know, say in Icelandic. But was that gas station I broke into. I had made the first approach, and the lady wasn't at home, and yada yada yada, and I come back to town, and it's my meeting, and I go there, and there's this old timer, sober from '88, and I tell him about the thing, and he says, explain the situation. He just says, relax, dude, we don't need to do amends like that. A couple of years later, he is about to go nuts with his own unmade amends. Current, not old stuff, current stuff. And we go to the steps together. And my experience from that, what I took away from that, I remember what the amends were about, but during the fifth step, I felt something that he put into words the day after. I felt his chest open and poison come out. That's the experience that I had. I felt it happen. And he put it into the words when we were finishing the fifth step after my home group the next day. People who are sober a long time suffer too. This is all about current action. Not... Yeah. Nothing else, I guess. Can somebody repeat the question for me? I can't hear you. Can somebody repeat the question closer to me?
What's the earliest step you think of home group in your sobriety?
Oh, yeah, sorry. What's the earliest you can pick a home group in your sobriety? Well, people change home groups all the time. I guess, you know, the only thing you need to do to start a group is a resentment and a coffee pot, okay? And that's just the way it is. That's AA wisdom, by the way. Earliest, choose day one? Day one? One of the service commitments at that group in Iceland is the... What did they call it? The Iron Curtain or something. It was just basically guys behind the door. You know, it would be guys on both sides, and you would need to shake their hands on your way in. And that was a service. If you can do that service in a group, and then once in a while some old timer would come and say, I want to be elected to the greater responsibility, and the guys would just go, do you have a pair of hands? And that was, you know, that was the requirement to be a greeter at that group until one guy who didn't have any hands showed up. And we would shake his claw, basically. It's an amazing story, by the way. His story is amazing. And he has no hands. He has one stiff plastic one and a mechanical claw on the right one. He's waiting... He lives in France now. He's waiting to get for somebody to die to get a new set of arms, you know. And you know, if you can participate, call it your home group. You know, if you can participate, call it your home group. If you're waiting to get elected to an office, if that's the mood in that group, no, you can't do it because. Yeah, no. This is AA. This is chaos, organized chaos. Okay, we. Day one is my answer. The question is the importance of doing group inventory every 2 years from an outside person. Well, the norm in Iceland is to do group inventory once a month. That's the norm. And that's something that came from a group in the States called the Men's Steps Application Group. The questions at least came from them. We would later change the questions. Doing it often and badly I think is better than doing it thoroughly. We don't get guys to show up on to the, you know, groups that do that once a year in Iceland. They have a hard time getting people to come to participate on a non-meeting night. You know, they, if you, you know, it's get the guys that are there to be honest with themselves. And you know, we have a, we make up systems and stuff and belief systems about stuff the correct way and yada yada yada, and we are fine. You can always be right, okay? You can always be right if you yourself decide the terms, okay? And you can always be right. If you have to, and there's another one, and this is one of my favorites, favorite one-liners. If you have to rationalize it, you are wrong. Okay? Rationalizing it is fine. But if you have to rationalize it for it to work, then you are wrong. Whatever it may be. So I my experience has been, you know, I they don't really do group inventories in Norway that I know of. But in Iceland, they do it all the time. And that's the only thing I know. An outside view, we are really good at keeping up appearances to other people. And so I think, you know, in general, you know, being honest with yourself and what you're doing is good stuff. Anyone? More hands? Okay. We'll take a break.